OK Cosmos, and it's like a model I see, or an image. Of the actual nature of this cosmos. Start with seeing it not from the outside, but from the inside. And as I experience my cosmos now, there is a center here where I am. And around me is a world. And then around me also is time. And when you look at the yantras describing the cosmos in India, in the East, you should say, we understand that there are two there. There is the wheel of time and the directions, the compass wheel, which means simply that if I look from where I am, I see those two wheels around me, you could say. The wheel of time, which of course is very much visualized in the form of the sun, and then there are all these other kinds of wheels there and different times. Cycles that make up the events going on around me. And then there is that space with the forms this 3D space that the actions are going on in. So it's rather appropriate to draw that cosmos in that way. The gates there in each direction, outside there is chaos, but inside those gates there is a world of ordered form. And that form then can be described in different levels. Physical, mental, and so on. So you may, if you are lucky enough to understand what I'm trying to describe, and which I found there in these old scriptures after 40 years of contemplation, this is a model of the cosmos. And when you can understand that, yes, this is the complete cosmos, then you've got it. And of course, we have to take a couple of more steps here to understand the completeness of this cosmic model. Let me try. As I hope we have clarified so far, there is no element of solipsism here. Solipsism, meaning that everything that goes on in the world is simply in my consciousness as a dream or whatever, and all of you others too. Only me exists. Well, that is a kind of God syndrome. You are all figments of my imagination. I am the only one existing. And of course, some people who are into this kind of oneness thinking nowadays, that everything is just one singular consciousness and all the forms and all of that is simply like a dream. They may end up there too in a kind of solipsism, which I would say is in a way the ultimate self-centeredness. There are enough many people walking around here and just behaving as if they were the center of the universe. So it doesn't really work out if you stop there. But if you take it one step further, which we are clearly led into from, for instance, the Puranic Vedic literature of India, namely that we are neither a swarm of isolated beings nor just a one in a God. Who got overtaken by his own dreams. I mean, what kind of God is that? God is not supposed to be overtaken by anything. So, you get into theology and all this kind of stuff. But what is really here in this model is that the center here is not just some impersonal oneness, but it's like a tree with the same trunk and roots and then many, many branches, and we are little twigs there. But the little twig has the same nature as the tree as itself. So you could say, from my point of view, everything rotates around me, and therefore this spine is often described as a center. The Maya Rodanda. That's the me-centric view, which of course is completely natural for me. But then there's the Purusha-centric view. The sun, from whom I am a little ray, and you and all of us. So this, which is sometimes called Mount Meru, Iaxis Mundis or Olymp, described as a pivot point, a center of existence here, center of the cosmos, is not, as some materialistic influence people may think, some mountain located in a physical space. It's the opposite. It's a living being who experiences this space, this world, whatever world we may be in, just as the original reality, Vaikuntha, is all centered not around me or you, but Vishnu, God. And all it really takes, and this is why this model is full of wisdom that is valuable to us, all it really takes is to really understand this. Not by looking outside on a model, but by looking from where we are. Now, believe me or not, because the word quantum physics has been so abused by all kinds of pseudo-wise people, sorry, guys and girls, but it got a bit indulgent sometimes, this New Age scene. Anyway, but the real quantum physicist, you go to the grandsires, the founders there of that science, which is now, of course, an accepted science, and they all started talking about consciousness being fundamental and at the center of this cosmos, this world. It's clearly there. So they saw something, those men and ladies, I hope. And well, I could say the problem may have been rather repressive rule of materialism in intellectual circles on this planet for the past 100 at least years. and the peer pressure that scares away some from continuing that very interesting angle of exploration that the quantum physicists opened. But it is going on and has been so ever since then. So it's there and it's nice, but it should and could have been much more developed and influential and accepted, because, well, I say it's getting very close to the actual reality, to the truth of the matter, and that's what science is supposed to bravely seek, right, wherever it happens to appear from. But now, when it appears from inside ourselves, actually from our very selves, rather than somewhere out there through some telescope or microscope, and some people, they can't really handle that because they are so conditioned to deny the existence of a soul and a God, anything inside, anything so-called metaphysical. That word even is being used as a almost like a bad word today. So, yeah, I think we got a little bit closer here with our cosmic model.